You know, I had a ideas what we were going to do this Sunday, because your first Sunday in Mother's Day and things, and God had a different idea about today. I had been, well, over the last number of months, when I go to pray about our nation and praying about things with our country, the things that are going on, it just seemed that many times you're sort of praying over an area, you know, and even things you're doing that are, you'd say, are scriptural, but somehow I just kept getting, we're missing a connection that God's doing something. It's just like, you know, Mike said this morning, and using the scripture he did, you find out what God wants to do. You know, God has a plan. And we're going to look at it this morning, because in many times, and the Lord's been showing me, in the church world, we have patterns that we follow, but not necessarily God follows. But we follow. Now, they're not bad things. You know, they might even be scriptural things. But, you know, God will pull the most unusual things at times that don't make sense to us. We look into scriptures. One of the things that I found this out over the years as a Christian, everybody would loves a miracle to happen, and everybody wants a miracle. But if you follow through scriptures, miracles didn't happen doing ordinary things. They usually didn't happen following the pattern. They didn't. Things stepped outside of that pattern. And I was praying concerning our nation. I mean, there's one thing that we have to have, and that's this. We're not going to see change in our nation if we don't desperately want to change our nation. It can't, maybe I mean to make that clear. You may want it, but that ain't enough. You're going to have to go after it with God. See, God doesn't just, because you want something, it gets fixed and shows up. I don't know if you ever noticed that. There's things that we do and have our part to it. But we need to recognize, and you know, I thank God for the Christians who understand the need of our nation. But there's a lot of Christians who don't. I mean, it's sort of like, I see a lot of Christians are very much like our politicians. There's things that they, and I'm not knocking the politicians, because I think they just follow suit of the church in a lot of ways, is they want to bring change and they want change. I really believe that, I think that they do, but it's mostly talk. We talk about what we want, and we talk, but you know, it doesn't matter what you want. You got to move in a direction or do something. What will bring it? And I found out this about myself. I'm not a rocket scientist when it comes to a lot of stuff. I desperately need God. Amen. I desperately need wisdom, and you have to come to that place. You have to arrive at the spot of your need of help that you can't do what you're trying to do. Faith, what would you, why, this is one thing with the faith message, I think in some ways has gotten a little on the big-headed side. The purpose of faith is, I need God, I can't do it. It's a simplistic thing. It really is. You know, I've run out of me. I've run out of, look, I can do what I know to do. And it comes time that you just gotta believe. And you know, sometimes you have to believe seems almost like stupid things that don't, you know, look at the word and what the word says, and man, nothing's matching it. Nothing is even in the ballpark of it. Here I am standing over in this area, and I'm you look like a fool. And I think so much we have this idea where we're even trying to present a gospel to the world that makes sense. The gospel don't make a bit of sense. The Bible tells us it's for the fools. So you bunch of fools, you accept it. But see, you come to the point that you accepted something that really doesn't make natural sense to it. Doesn't make natural sense. And we're living in this world. I began to see God, you know, we're, you know, I just talked to him. I'm like, you know, I'm talking to you guys. I just, God, we need your help so bad. We don't have answers unless we have your answer. Things are a mess. Where's our part? Where do we fit? There's things you're going to have to do. There is. God will always show you things that you can do. But There's things that he just needs to do and we need to trust him to do it. Sometimes that's a hard thing. Oh, I got to get my hands on it, you know. Oh, God, I have to do something about this. And you know what that comes from? That comes from worrying and things. Sometimes letting things alone is a hard thing to do. It's like I told you when we were looking for a place and I told God, I've been out here running around. He said, well, I didn't tell you to go look. Oh, he just slapped me. You know, knock it off, Ed. You know, it's just, it's one of those things. See, but you know, it's finding, so I knew this. You know, I can pray and talk to him about it, but until he tells me to do something, I need to keep my hand off of things. And sometimes you have to do that. And we're going to talk about some an actions of faith today. We're going to talk about a miracle. God kept bringing this to me. He kept waking me up at night, bringing this thing of scripture. And this has been going on for some time. I have been talking, and you guys heard me say a number of times about we need to worship God more, spend more time in worship. And that's what this is about. This is about that. And we want to look at this because we need some miracles in our nation. We need some things turned around. And I've been seeking God, what do we do? Where are we at in this? You know, God, you know, I need more than my answers. I need more than, I'm tired. I'm fed up to hear with the political solutions. I'm fed up to hear with the election things up here and God's down here. I am fed up with it. If God can't move, our elections will be spit. We'll stay in the same mess we're in. I don't care who you get in office. Hey, folks, we did this before. We voted all the Republicans in, and they had Trump as president, and what did they do with it? They did the Republicans through America under the bus for their own benefit. Why? If the devil reigns, he will definitely rule over the politicians. There has to be a change in the realm of the spirit. There must be. That has to happen first. That must be first. Not a change in government can't be first. There must be a change in the spirit realm. That's what God wants to bring. We're going to tell a story this morning. It's a wonderful story of scripture from 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. There's a lot that you could teach on this king of Israel. His name's Jehoshaphat. An interesting man. What I like about him, that I see in him, he is sort of does some really good stuff, and then he was sort of dumb like it is sometimes. It did dumb things. But there's one thing about this man, and about find this about yourselves. You know, it isn't a matter of you being perfect. It's where your heart's at. That's the big thing. See, I found out this a long time ago from the Lord. It's having a heart for God. That don't mean you don't miss the mark at times and you don't do something different. God judges by the heart. He looks at people. And we're going to find out. We're not going to read here today about it. But I can go through the scriptures and show you where God did things for people because their hearts were right and they had done the wrong thing. But he delivered them because their hearts were right toward him. See, and this is one thing. You need to be the big protector of your heart to make sure. Always have a heart toward God. Keep that. I learned that from listening to Dr. Cho, who used to be in Korea. He's going home to be with the Lord. But Dr. Cho, who was known worldwide and even in governments and things. And he made this statement one time. I heard him say this. He said, if I'm sitting with world leaders, he said, and doing those, he said to me, my heart is always toward God. And I thought, man, that's what, when we're in situations and we're dealing with things, we always want to keep a heart toward God. I always want to have my heart toward Him. That even if I mess up, make the wrong decision, isn't because my heart's wrong. My heart's toward God. And I think lots of times Satan deceives Christians in this area where their heart is toward God and they mess up and they believe the lie of the devil that, well, you know, I'm messed up and I'm not. No, you're not. You just blew it. You know, get over it. Don't let the devil carry you off in that. Don't let him take you off to that place. Don't allow him to do that to your life. Hallelujah. Always look at your heart. Your heart's toward God. See, I believe you're here today because your heart's toward God. All you need to know that. You can't come to a place of strong faith if you're questioning your own heart. You're always questioning your own heart. See, you know, you get people go out, they take Old Testament scriptures and man's heart's always to do evil. Well, if it is, you're not saved. If your heart's only to do evil, my God, you're the devil's kid. Let's get over it. You know, people pull scriptures out and use that kind of stuff. That's Old Testament. That's what men weren't saved. People weren't saved. Their heart was to do evil. Hallelujah. We're the church of Jesus Christ. That ain't us. My God, if my heart was only to do evil, I mean, Now, we do see that around. But in this story, I'm going to start in the beginning in the 20th chapter, verse 1. It says, and it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon, Tamar, which is in Gedi. And he said, Jehoshaphat feared and said to himself to set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And it says, so Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. So we in other words, we wanted to, there's a pattern here to see that we need to understand. When this event happened, Jehoshaphat saw the need, and he saw the desperation. We think we're going to do something about it. You know, if we look today, the average American doesn't even understand how close we are to destruction in America. I just want to tell you this. I don't believe in any way that the American military is ready for a world war. I don't think we can. I don't think we will last through one. I don't think we will. I don't. I mean, they were talking about just from the standpoint, the little, and I'm going to tell you, that little skirmish going over in Ukraine, just with us giving stuff, we've used up half of our Javelin missiles just giving them to them. What are you going to do in a world war? You can't fight a world war in 2 months. You go to world wars, you're going to use all them up in a few days. See, we're in a, people don't understand. We're sitting around here in America and we've listened to too much, and even from the church, too much about this at all. We're just so mighty and we're this and we're that. We listen to all this stuff and we don't even, you can't live like hell and be mighty. It won't work. You know, I tried that in my personal life and it didn't work. I don't think it'd do any better for a nation. We need to, this is why there's a desperation. And I appreciate here is number one, this king understood his desperation. Now I want you to listen to this because we're going to go on and look what he prayed to God. Judah, right here dealing with Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat had about 1.5 million man army at this time. If you go over and read in Kings and you read in Chronicles, both areas about his kingship, you find he had a big army. He wasn't some little thing. He wasn't a guy sitting around here with, you know, he had more troops than America has today. America is talking about dropping its military below 1 million. Combat ready. I don't know. What we're going to do is throw rocks at people. I'm not sure. What are we going to do? I don't know. They better not take the guns from the civilians. It might be the only ones that will have it. I don't, it's like, dear God. Things are sort of nutty. But anyhow. But he recognized, he saw, he understood his condition at the time. Even though having a mighty army. Now, you need to understand, he's dealing, basically here he's dealing with three nations coming against him. These three nations that are coming against him are basically what we're dealing with. Are if you actually look and study the places it talks about, it's we're dealing with Moab and Ammon and also dealing with Edom, which these ones, if you look on the maps and stuff of how we look at today, we would say today in the areas of Syria, which was actually part of what was considered Edom, not Edom, but Ammon, which was part and filled in that area up to above the Sea of Galilee and partly down below that. Then there was Moab, which was on the other side of the Dead Sea and about the end of the Dead Sea. And then there was Edom, which was south of the Red Sea over on the west, over on the eastern side from Israel. So there was three areas there. And those three areas, if we look who they were, these three areas here deal with the two areas which we would look at as we're talking about today. We're talking, say, what we would take Syria and come down into part of that area, Ammon and Moab. That was the descendants of Lot. See, Lot's descendants all became enemies of Israel. And another enemy of Israel is Edom. Edom is Esau, the descendants of Esau. So the offspring, see that there, that guy Esau, you know, why people complain about, oh boy, Jacob lied. Well, I really wish God would let Esau become the God. But Esau, they all became enemies of Israel. So we want to look at this because we see, with the prayer that comes out here, these enemies. So we have three nations that gathered together. So I'm sure they had a huge army. I'm sure they're really, you're talking about something coming against a nation. You realize that we're dealing with Judah. When we're talking about Judah, you need to understand the time period. There was Israel, which was 10 tribes. Judah was made up of two tribes. And so Judah is not huge. It's amazing the army that they had for the size of nation that they had. The nation's not huge. But the army that they produced, they actually had a bigger army than Israel did. And Israel had the 10 tribes. They actually had a larger army. But here we have, in verse 5, it said, then Jehoshaphat, he stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands they're not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you. Now, it's one of the things is, look at his prayer, his approach to God. One of the things we sometimes in prayer, and I want to say is we could do some teaching on this in prayer, is people approach God about their needs. They don't approach him about God. It's number one, I believe a lot of people destroy their faith in prayer. I think they go to prayer and ruin their faith because their prayers are a complaint. The prayer is the place they go about their problem. They don't magnify God. They don't believe God's bigger. They never tell God he's bigger than everybody. You know, God, you're bigger than my problem. I'm going to this. This is not going to be a problem for you. People go to prayer, drag their problem in, throw it to God, hope something happens. And then they'll call, well, I quoted a scripture and I did this or I did that. You notice his approach. He's in a desperate situation. And he comes to God. He said, are you not our God? See, do you talk to God like he's your God? Do you talk to him like he's yours? He's your God. See, you need to learn, you need to approach it. He's my God. He said, are you not our God? Hey, you're ours, aren't you? In other words, he's expecting something out of God. You're our God. He says, the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever, and they dwell in it, have built you a sanctuary in it for your name's sake. Now here he brings up something that was said that goes back, dedicated the temple. These are things that he said at that dedication by the Spirit of God, that God said. He said, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save us. See, now this is a prayer of faith. See, lots of times prayers, people are asking God to do something for them. They don't know if he's going to really do it or not. They're wishfully thinking. Now, they call it faith. He just says, hey, God, this is what you said. You're going to do this. This is what you're going to do. You are going to save us. Because you told us that if we got in trouble and we would come to this temple. That's why when Israel was ever carried off and they were carried off, when they would always pray toward Israel, to the temple. They would pray in the direction of the temple. The big thing was to get to the temple. Why? That was the presence of God. God was in that temple. That's where His presence was. And in the presence of God, you can get your prayers answered. The presence of God. Well, who's the temples today? I'm guaranteed answer to prayer. I am guaranteed. We're not going through motions. I'm guaranteed the presence of God. You see, they understood at that time, this is where the presence of God was. This is why God demanded that the people in Israel come twice a year, the men come and present themselves at the temple. Why? The presence of God. Present yourself to the presence of God. That's where the presence wasn't in anybody. That's where it was. That's why the sacrifices had to be carried out there. That's why all the things they did were there. It was done in the presence of God. And when they left the temple, when they started worshiping idols and they would no longer do the stuff, the temple, see, they weren't operating in the presence of God anymore. See, we need to understand, the church today talks about God in us. Well, what's its purpose? If it doesn't put me above the people of this world and everything in this world, what good is it? Who cares? It's of no value. But it does. You and I walk, and I always wonder why Christians would pray and go do something. They're going to travel. God, go with me. Dear Lord, I'm the temple. I can't go. You know, if I go to sin, He goes along with me in it. Watches me do it. God's always with us. He said, I never leave you and forsake you. Yet people pray like God's going to forsake them. See, wherever we go, it's the presence of God. We have to get into a thinking. When they were at their temple, here we have Jehoshaphat. He's thinking like, I'm in the presence of God. This thing's going to work. What we're going to ask here, it's going to work. Why? He said we'd come to His presence and we'd be there, that this thing would work. We're in trouble. We need your help. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, in verse 10 says, and now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Mount Seir, that there would be where Edom was. And that would be Esau's people. He said, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Said, here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? You see, we have from a scriptural standpoint, we have Jesus talked about the unjust judge. See, Jesus talked about justice. He talked about the unjust judge and how the woman wore the judge out. Well, see, our God, we don't have to wear God out to try to get Him to help you. But He was showing how, Jesus gave an example of how it works in the world. In other words, kept hounding till you get justice. Then Jesus said, how quickly He would respond. How quickly would your Father respond to you who called Him? How quickly He would do it. But He said, He ended it with saying this, when the Lord returns, will He find faith in the earth? Well, what's He talking about? Faith in general? Faith that you believe in Jesus? Well, that wasn't what He's talking about. That's not the subject. The subject is justice. Most of the church world, and even Spirit-filled believers, have no faith for justice. We don't have faith for justice. This is about crying out for justice. This is what the King is doing. He's crying out for justice. This is what He's doing. Shouldn't there be justice, Lord? Aren't you going to do something about this? Aren't you going to judge this situation? We need justice. See, we need justice in America. And the church is not crying for justice. The church is, we'll complain to politicians and we'll do that. But we aren't talking to God about it. Telling God, we demand justice. What good would it be to us to pray for our leaders and we get no justice? I mean, we might as well be down at the bar drinking. It would be of no better value to us. If there's no justice, who cares who's in office? Who cares? Even if you put good people in office, they are overrun by injustice. Yes. And I want to tell you, there's no man going to bring it to us. And we need to settle this thing out. We have done all this stuff, and I'm going to, you know, the Americans are so in love with their government in Washington. Sometimes I almost want to say, God, could you please have somebody send a missile and blow that place up? We got to get our eyes off a man. We got to get our eyes off of what people, they're not offering us. We have had a lot of talk, and I'm tired of talk. I want a miracle. Man cannot, there's not one politician can give me what I need. Donald Trump can't give me what I need. He can't do it. We need something beyond men. It's going to require the church's faith to arise above the need of men and the need of God. And the only way that that will come is us looking to God. Faith comes. Let God speak to us. Faith comes by hearing. And it don't come by hearing Washington. It don't come by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And this is one thing God's been dealing with me is I've been seeking God. I've had enough of the natural and looking at this stuff in the natural. And enough. I've had enough. I am so fed up with the politic things of this and all these. God, we need a miracle. No one can offer this. You're the only guy that can fix this thing. You're the only one. Everything I measure up against him, don't even come close. And so it's a shame. Many of our ministers have become, you know, political activists. Always talking about the politics and, you know, jumping in on us. It's like, enough is enough. I need God. This man understood his need for God. He understood the situation he was in. He said, verse 11, he says, in verse 12, he said, "O God," he said, "will you not judge them? For it says, we have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." See, I've come to this. I don't know what to do. I told God, I don't know. I said, the only thing as I knew is to look to you. Show me what? I don't know what. You know, I'll tell you, we have all this election stuff running and elections coming up. I haven't got a clue who I'm going to vote for. If you told me right now who I would like, I'd say none of them. I'm just going to tell you, it isn't, I think they're all bad people or anything like that. But I'll tell you what, the only thing in my heart now is to look toward God. God, I need your help. God, we need your help. We need more than election. It's not about some guy's going to fix it. It's not. Hey, I'm not against election. Thank God for people who want to be in politics, who want to do right. Thank God for them. But we've promoted them too much to the forefront. Expecting. And you know what? Our disappointments come, and it's been our fault. Because we haven't sought God and wanting God's answer. Guys have said what we wanted to, that women said what we wanted to hear. But I'm going to tell you what, they had no power to deliver us. And we expected them to. We were wrong. We were in sin. We're expecting man to deliver us. There is only one deliverer. There is one deliverer for us. There is one. We put so much pressure, we're putting pressure on people to be our God, our person. We can just get Donald Trump back in as president. Then it's going to, oh my, sure it's going to be tiptoe through the tulips, isn't it? I mean, we're just going to be having a wonderful time. All the problems will go away just like it did last time. I mean, my words. The church doesn't realize that the way they walked the last time helped him get beat up. We need to come back to our hope in God. We have no power against this great multitude that's coming against us. We're not dealing with a multitude of an army. We're dealing with demonic multitude. We're dealing with demonic powers that are in huge force in this nation that the church is not dealing with. Man in himself, natural things do not. Demons don't care the things that you do in the natural. They don't deter them. That isn't what deters them. You know, I was praying. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, I said, there's such insanity. I said, I never thought I would see. I just talked to him like I'm talking to you guys. I said, God, I never thought I'd see the day in America where mothers and women would get out into the streets and scream and yell for the right to murder their kids. And I said, that's what this is about. Screaming and yelling. I want the right to murder my child. I said, here we're living it. Well, how can you do it? And the Lord spoke this to me. He said, America is dealing with murder spirits. He said, these spirits are murdering spirits. And they dominate. See, we see it across from the crime waves. We see it across the people. It's unreasonable. I'm thinking, it's just totally unreasonable that these people are doing this. You know, it is so insane. There's a guy, and he's a Democrat, but it isn't because he's a Democrat. But he's running for the Senate in Ohio. This guy is running as a moderate. And this is what he said. I mean, they have him in recording. He said this. He said, I believe a woman should have the right to abort her child up to 9 months if she wants to. It's her body. I mean, this is a moderate. It sounds like Stalin to me or something. This is moderation in America. Moderation in America. You can kill them all the time. I mean, New York State has a law. If you have a child who's aborted and lives through the abortion, you can kill it afterwards. And you can kill it up to late term. And in fact, Colorado is... There are liberals out there pushing and probably pass a law that they will be able to kill a child, they'll be able to abort a child up to 9 months. That's what they're pushing for. That's what they're doing. A nation can't survive doing these things. Impossible. I don't know why everybody screams. You know, let me just say this. We sit here in America and we throw rocks at Putin, but Putin believes homosexuality is wrong. We old moral Americans. He doesn't go along with the perversion. We do. They ain't over in Russia talking about pronouns to use. You know. This is what happens. It's the same thing that happened to Israel. Before Israel's destruction, Israel, God said, has become more wicked than the ungodly nations around them. America has become more wicked than the nations around it. We look at nations that we think were better. And America. Americans don't have it. You got to quit listening to these stupid preachers. I mean, these guys that keep saying like, oh, America's like this great thing in America. Hold it. You will never approach God on the basis of truth if you keep lying about the desperate situation that we have in our nation and we need God's help. You're not going to come, God, hey, we're really great, we're really good. You know, God, you know, we did something good a long time. Hey, somebody might have done something good, but what are we doing now? What are the things that we're facing in our nation? And stop and say, God, man, we need you here desperately. We need a change around. And see, it comes down to a desperate situation. Here's a desperate situation, and thank God this king understood it. He said, now all Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Now, this story goes on and we find it says, here's what happened. That they responded to God. Do you know, this is a thing that I have learned over time. It's just like with God speaking to me. When I start talking to God and start talking the truth and start speaking to God, asking the questions about things. Here they go. We're doing this. I find it don't take long to hear from God. Didn't take long for them to hear from God. We're going to find God responded. Why? They responded in the situation they were in. They came to God. Hey, this is where we're at. God, I may have a close to 1.5 million man army, but it isn't enough to deal with this thing. God, he recognized, you know, even though he's a king who lives right, he doesn't think, well, you know, God's going to bless me just because, you know, I've been doing really good. No, he still sees it. No, I need God helping me. I always need God helping me. And we need to keep that with ourselves. I don't care how good you've been living. I don't care what God's been doing. You still need God. You wake up tomorrow, you still need God. You ain't never done enough good that you should have good. Good don't come by works. By faith. We're faith people. And it's always faith in God. It's keeping yourself in the areas, your faith in God. I'm gonna trust Him. God, I need your help. And we want to keep that place that we, our need for Him, because it is true. It is true. I need your help. Hallelujah. You know, I was told one time by a person, you know, that my Christianity is a crutch. And I said, thank God, I hope I get two of them, not just one. Hallelujah. I need a crutch. The people who don't think they need a crutch, they're in for doom. We have too many in America don't see that America is a cripple and it's in a wheelchair. We don't see our spiritual need. Now, there are people who do, but I'm going to tell you, they're a minority who see the need of our nation. But I'll tell you what, we have God in us. We're temples of God. If we'll stand before Him, God will not destroy the righteous with the wicked. Amen. Abraham had enough sense for that. He said, wouldn't a God of all the earth do right? Destroy the righteous with the wicked? Would you do such a thing? And God wouldn't. Lot's mess that he was in, God still delivered him. God considered him a righteous one. Hallelujah. In spite of the mess of many Christians, God will still deliver us if we use our head. But somebody's got to stand. Hallelujah. I don't know. I just believe we can do it. See, I don't believe we have to get somebody, go look for somebody who's some intercessor or somebody who's something with something or whatever. Glory to God, we're the temple of God. I believe if we stand, I believe if we ask God and we stop and say, God, we desperately need you. See, I believe in this nation. Somebody must be doing something right that we've had this huge change over abortion. We got nowhere. We spent trillions in giving money to stop abortions, and it didn't work at all. And all of a sudden, why? Because there's something changed in the realm of the Spirit. There's some things a few years back changed in the Spirit in this nation. There were some things that changed. I know this. A lot of the politicians didn't change. But there's things in the Spirit that did. Things happened. People found now, then find themselves doing things they would have never done before. Why all of a sudden? Roe versus Wade was always an illegal act that was done by our Supreme Court. There was no legal precedence for it all. That Ginsburg, you know, who was the Supreme Court justice who died, she even wrote about it and said that it was actually, it wasn't legally done. She knew it and she was for it. There was no legal precedence. The court just became the thing of, we're going to write our own laws. We're going to do it. See, we have that today. We have this injustice out here today. An injustice, you know, we don't have a justice system. We have judges doing any old darn thing they want. What's going to change that? Well, naturally it's not. Politics isn't. Our politics are so divided. I mean, it is just 1 million miles away from each other. The only thing that can make this thing work is God. What changed the mind of these things in the states and now all of a sudden the Supreme Court rises up? Why hasn't this happened before? Because there had to be a spiritual change to bring it. There had to be a spiritual change. And that was not bought by man. Men ask God, but God has brought this change. I'm going to tell you what, God's dividing up America. He's dividing the righteous from the wicked. We're coming to the end, folks. In the 1990s, The Lord showed me in the early 1990s the divide in America. He showed me the states and stuff were going to be in darkness and places of light. He told me what was going to happen. There's going to be a great divide in America. I remember in the 90s I told people about it. Didn't like to hear that because that wasn't the belief of the hour. I said, well, it's here. It's here. I saw right. And then I turned around and found out here this last year, I found out there was a prophecy that was never brought up. Well, actually, it was from a vision Brother Hagin had that's never born out, wasn't brought out before until about 2 years ago. And he had had a vision and saw the things in himself. The dividing in America and how what was going to happen to America, we weren't going to have the freedoms that we had before. They wouldn't be taken. But see, that wasn't popular to put out to people. They don't like to hear those things. And that prophecy came like from 1965. Oh. So when you start to look at these things, the things coming up. But you know, God tried to prepare us for our hour. And I just appreciate his goodness and mercy. In spite of our stupidity, we call out and he shows up. What a God. What a God of mercy. We do dumb. And you just repent. And he comes like, come on, guys. Let's go get it. I still want to do something for you. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. It says, in the midst of the assembly, then he said, listen, all you of Judah and your inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And the Lord wanted me to say this, the battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. The battle is not yours. See, this comes over to a thing that I talked about in the beginning. Sometimes you just got to get your hand off of it. Sometimes you just got to pull your... God wants you to... You know, sometimes God will direct you to get your hand right in it. Tell you to go do it. I've had this happen. I've had this happen concerning... In this church, and early... And we started this church and things, dealing with some people and things and people in leadership. Where sometimes the Lord told me, one instance, dealing with a person, he wanted me to deal with it. And I dealt with it. Another time, person come on, doing a thing, and... He said, let it alone. I'll take care of it. And he did. The person dropped dead. He said, I'm going to take care of it. He said, let it alone. See, sometimes you got to find out what's your job to do. And see, this is one of the things here. See, the Lord is saying, hey, this is my battle. Let me fight. You know, God sometimes, see, today, we need some miracles to bring the church back to believe in them again. The Church of America today can't believe in miracles hardly. We believe in the natural mostly, and what can be done in the natural. It's like, I always think about, you know, you look at Israel. Israel would forget about, God would always remind them, when they would forget about what God had done, bring them out of Egypt. When they forgot about that, they never had miracles. When you forget about miracles, you ain't going to have none. You can't forget about them. You can't forget about what the Word of God says about it because you'll have no faith for them. Kenneth Hagin did this one years ago and said this, and I found out it to be true. It works, what he said. He went to a church one time to minister, and the minister said to him, you know, we've been praying for the last 2 years, he said, for move the gift of the Spirit that's in the church. Manifestations of the Holy Ghost. We've been praying about this here for 2 years. And he said, if anything has improved or done, we sure don't know it. 2 years, praying. Well, there's more to it than just praying. See, we get over one thing and we're doing, nobody stopped to ask God. Brother Hagin stopped and said, are you teaching the people on the subjects about miracles and faith? Are you teaching on that? Well, no. Well, he said they ain't got no faith for it, so it don't matter. You can pray for it. But there's no faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word. See, the people don't have faith to operate. They ain't got no faith. They don't know. They're just like, God's just going to show up and do it. And we watch. You know, this is what's going to happen. Well, it don't. There was another part to it. But see, they weren't fulfilling that part. And we're going to find out, because God tells them here, tells them what to do. He said, but the battle is yours. And I just want to say today, not just here with our nation, there's some of you dealing with things. You've had your hand in it too long. You're not letting God do His thing. You've had your hand in it trying to change it. Some things you just got to let alone. Some things you just... It's like one individual concerning our church we're dealing with. Time we're dealing with a leader. It was a person on the board at that time. And they were in opposition, going along in things and stuff. And I knew they were behind my back criticizing me. They're dumb things, like God wouldn't talk to me. I always get a kick out of people. And they're going on with stuff. But anyhow, the Lord, you know, I knew what was going on about it. I knew the Lord spoke to me about it. And but anyhow, I got over and I was praying about that. You know, see, I wanted to be Mr. Nice Guy. See, you're going to be Mr. Nice Guy. See, I'm a walk in love, so I'm praying for this guy all the time. And I'm praying. And for a year, I would pray for this guy, for his heart to turn and his heart to change and all that stuff. But in that year's time, I never asked God about the subject. I was taking care of it. See, I'm over here praying. I'm going to take care of this thing. See, I'm going to be Mr. Love Guy. And then one Saturday, I was studying and doing some meditation on some scriptures I was going to preach on. And I was laying across the bed. I was laying on my back across the bed and I was meditating on these scriptures. But down inside of me, there was this little thing that just irked me concerning this individual, because we've been praying for this guy for a year. I said, Lord, what about so-and-so? This is the first time I ever asked God a question about it He could answer. See, I never did. I was always telling Him what I wanted to do. Oh, God, turn His heart and gonna. Well, God couldn't turn His heart. The Lord said to me, He's hard-hearted and stiff-necked. And all of a sudden, the light came on in my little pea brain up there, that little pea that's been bouncing back and forth and making noise, and I thought it was thought, and it wasn't. It was just noise. I said, Lord, I've been wasting my time praying for this guy. He's got to go. And that's exactly what needed to be done. He needed to go. He wasn't going to change. See, I didn't know he wasn't going to change. I never asked God if he was. See, sometimes you're praying for people. They have their own will and purpose they can do. You can't pray and force your will off over on them just because you want it. I know. I wasted a year of praying to do that. I wasted a year. Never asked God about it. It'd be a good idea. We ask Him. God knows people's hearts. He knows whether a person is going to... I never ask Him. You know, I'm just going to be Mr. Love. Well, you want to walk in love? I wasn't going to take him and shoot him or nothing. Well, sometimes you think about it. Those thoughts do enter your mind. Ask Mike. But I said, you've all had those thoughts. Look, it's so sacred. I say, dear Lord, use me as your hand of vengeance. I just But, you know, you're just spending that time. But see, I hadn't asked God. I hadn't asked the Lord about it. And when I did, He responded quickly. God responds quickly to these folks here concerning this situation. He tells them quickly what goes on. We have a prophet speaks. So we have here, he told Jehoshaphat, in other words, this isn't yours, this is mine. See, you got to find out what your part is in something sometimes. You got to do that. I've learned this. If I move in a direction, nothing seems to change. I am not a guy to keep beating the same dead horse for a long time. Most people do. They'll stand there talking about they've been in faith for the next 5 years on something that ain't ever changed. I am not that kind of guy. I will stop and say, you know, I must be doing something wrong. Now, I don't think they try to get arrogant about it. But you know what? People think because they have a scripture that they're standing on, that's the end of everything. I may know some good scriptures, but God knows more about the scripture than Ed does. I may need a little help on where I'm standing. And so you need to get over there and find, Lord, what do I need to know? What am I missing? I heard a good story from Randall Greer, and this will help you. Randall Greer had spent a couple months. When 9/11 took place, a lot of ministries lost a lot of money. People quit sending money. And Christians got afraid and tightened their wallets up. I mean, none of them lost any money, but they still tightened their wallets up because they live in fear and walk by faith. And Randy Greer said, like, he lost 60% of the income to his ministry. And he said in a month's time. And so they people quit giving. So he said, we got really desperate. He said, we got down the point. He said, to keep trying to keep the ministry alive and ourselves. He said, you know, we're living off of credit. That's what we're doing. We're living off of credit. He said, he's seeking God. And he had taken a month's time where he did a lot of fasting and praying, a lot of trying to find out what is going on, what is happening. And he's praying and praying and praying. But he made this quite statement. He said, you know, I'm assuming it was God. I don't know what happened, but he said, I finally one day stopped and said, Lord, if I'm missing it somewhere and you're trying to tell me something and I don't see it, could you please send somebody that can hear from you to me to tell me? Could you get them to contact me? He said when he said that, he said in all this time he'd been praying and fasting. See, sometimes fasting may be just diet. If you're not hooked up with God. For him, he was just losing weight, missing meals, but it wasn't working. And he said, as soon as I said that to God, God said, okay, I'll do it. He said it wasn't an hour later, somebody gave him a phone call. And then told him exactly what his answer was. And it was exactly what he needed to hear. Turned his whole situation around. See, we don't ask questions. We just keep beating and saying, you know, I thought this. Kenneth Hagin said, he said in my Christian walk, I've never fasted, he said, and prayed more than 3 days without getting an answer. Now, he was more spiritual from the standpoint of he spent time in prayer. If you don't ever spend much time in prayer listening to God, it might take you 2 months. But I am convinced of this, that many times people get over, we become so noisy about an answer, we don't ask God the right questions. See, the Bible consistently tells us, if we seek Him, we'll find, if we call on Him. See, many times what we want, we're telling God what we want, instead of asking God. There's nothing for Him to answer. See, if we respond, He says He'll answer us. Well, have you asked a question? See, sometimes we're not asking a thing. We're just telling what He wants Him to do. See, if something isn't working, I've had this happen many times where I've messed around with things and finally asked the right question. It's like, oh, got an answer. Quit beating that dead horse. The answer comes. Now listen to what he said, verse 17. It says verse 16, he says, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of God, who is with you, O Judah, Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, I want you to see this. This really requires an act of faith by them. This is what you need to understand. Here's, now notice it. God is telling them, look, I'm going to fight this battle. But see, you're still going to have to walk by faith. Without faith, you can't please Him. See, there's some people that get along and say, well, you know, God will take care of this. And then they go on and live and just not paying attention to it. He told them, you got to go out there. You got to go out and stand before Him. I want you to think about it. You're not going to fight. But you got to go out there and stand before them. Now, you got to go out there with them, with the army you don't believe you can beat them with. See, sometimes you got to go face the thing. See, I found lots of times people's faith fail because they're afraid to face. They're afraid if they face it, it's going to go under. See, sometimes you just got to face it. Sometimes God tells them, you guys go out there. You go out there and stand in your place. No, I'm saying, this is what I'm telling you. You're going to get out there. Go do it. Go get them, guys. You go out there and stand, and you're going to get to watch. In other words, you're going to get close enough to get killed. Oh! So see, it is requiring some faith here on their part. Now I want you to see it because this is where miracles come in. This is where God sends somebody to do something that doesn't make any sense. It doesn't seem like the thing to do. And God says, look, you ain't going to have to fight this thing. So they got to believe that we're going to go out there and we're going to have to fight this. So we aren't going to start any big training sessions and stuff with the military to try to get them ready to get up. We're not going to have to fight this thing. So, but we're going to have to get down there and stand to watch this thing. We're going to have to go down and watch to see what God's going to do. In other words, it's going to require you some faith. You're going to have to, in other words, what is going to kick it off? We're going to find out what started it. We're going to find out they weren't, that God wasn't the one that started it. We're going to find out they were. God's going to show it. God shows us in the scripture what they did. And this was an act of faith on their part. This is one of the things that, how do I act in faith? See, this is one of the things you guys have heard me say a million times. See, I don't care what you confess and say. Your faith is going to be determined by what you do. Your success in life isn't by what you know. It's what you do with what you know. That's success. It's what I do. James said, faith without works is dead. There has to be corresponding action to faith for faith to work. See, and that's what you and I want. We want to have an action of faith. And this is one of the things that I learned as a young Christian, because I wanted to learn how to act in faith. Kenneth Hagin used to teach it all the time about acting in faith. And I said, what's he talking about? What do I do? So I had to find out what you do. Here's a wonderful thing we're going to find here in this instant. We find here, they're supposed to go down, and in verse 18 it says, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites, and he says, and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord of Israel with voices loud and high. So in other words, the first thing, they start praising God. See, number one, they start acting like what God said was true. See, when you see the scripture tells you something that God said he'll do, you should be praising God. You shouldn't be waiting to see something. You do faith first. One of the things, one of the most admirable things, and you talk about faith, I don't know if I've ever met a person that had the faith of Job. Lost everything, all his family, all but his wife who tried to get him to curse God and die. The devil kept one of them there. The devil always keeps somebody in the bunch. Discourage you. But he lost everything. He lost all everything, you know, all his animals, everything. All his wealth is gone. You know the first thing Job did? He worshiped God. It said he fell down and worshiped God. Job fell down and he worshiped God. All of that happened to him. All that evil happened to him. Should I tell you what 99.9% of Christians do? Why did God let that happen to me? That's why most times people never get restored what the devil took. This is good preaching, folks. Should I tell you what? The hard times to praise God and worship God, that's the time you need to be doing it. In the middle of all the trouble, I'll tell you what, and the worse it gets, worship God. Amen. He's your help. If you need a miracle, complaining will never bring it. Talking bad about God ain't going to bring it. Saying, God, why me? We should say, God, I'm just a candidate for a miracle. Hallelujah. And you're the miracle maker. Glory to God. You're my miracle maker. That's who you are. Job fell down and worshiped God. Now, is anybody in here have anything happen like Job happened to him? You don't hear faith people preach about that much. But to me, I see those things. They're the big things. I think when I look at them, I think, man, that's a guy of faith. I got to get acting better. I got to get changing. Boy, the things I've griped about. And I haven't gone to God and I haven't worshiped Him. I spent a week moaning over my problem. Here's a man who ain't even born again. He falls down on his face and worships God. He's lost everything. and he's still worshiping God. Hallelujah. I ain't going to let Job outdo me. I'm sorry. We ain't going to allow that one. Now, here's the things of faith. I want you to see what they did. This is what I want to encourage you in, because we can do these things, and God wants you to, because God wants to do miracle for our nation. Not just our nation. He wants to do it, and he wants to be the miracle worker in the church. In 1950, Jesus told Kenneth Hagin in September 1950, we entered the time of the miraculous. That's what he said. Well, miracles, we don't see much of it anymore. It's why they quit believing. The church is not believing for miracles. That's what our God is. He is a miracle worker. That's what he does. That is, miracles are his nature. That's his nature. And he wants us to come back to that. Now, like he said, so what did they do? It said, verse 20 here, it says, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And it says, they went out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and your inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. See, they use that. You see it. Now, I want you to understand this. Let me tell you this in this story. If you read and find out about Jehoshaphat, what he had done not too long before, Jehoshaphat got together with Ahab, and they went into a battle, and Ahab died. Well, there was 400 prophets that came out and prophesied for Ahab and them, and for Jehoshaphat, said, everything's wonderful. Oh, you go down there and fight them, you're going to get 400 prophets. And Jehoshaphat stops and says, is there a prophet of the Lord here? So Jehoshaphat says this. So they bring one out. They find one. And Ahab says, I don't like this guy because he never prophesies good about me. If you're living evil, you're not going to get a good prophecy. Forget it. America's living evil, and the church is trying to prophesy a blessing on it. That's this mess we got going up. People prophesying. I need to hear from God. Into this year, God has not spoken a lot of things to me other than things I personally need to do and things I need. We need to walk in. Because he wants to do wonderful things. But I'll tell you what, he told me there's been too much said. Too much has been said. It ain't been him. Too much has been said. I need to know what to do. I need to know. But listen to this. Hallelujah. Now let me tell you about this. Anyhow, this prophet. So this prophet comes along and says, tells Ahab, basically, you're going to die in this thing. You better not go there. Ahab gets mad and has him arrested and hauled off. You know, this guy's talking bad. Now, here sits Jehoshaphat, a guy who's following God. He's the guy who asked for the prophet of God, but what does he go? He goes along with Ahab. He follows the 400 other prophets. He's gotten smarter since then. He has found out. He has found out because God did, a prophet showed up when he got back. He almost died in the battle. He almost got killed himself. He could have easily died. God spared him when he got back to Jerusalem. A prophet showed up and told him about his love hanging out with Ahab, who was evil to begin with. In fact, he even got his one son because they wanted to make, you know, we don't want to be at war with Israel. They're our brothers. So he got one of his sons to marry evil Ahab's daughter and made a covenant with the evil. Almost cost him his life. Thank God, God spared him and spared the nation. So here they are. But you know what happened? See, he did dumb, didn't he? But he gets back right with God. What does God say? God's, wow, you dummy. Remember what you did? I ain't helping you. I like this God of ours. Our God is incredible. He's absolutely phenomenal. Did you do dumb? Hallelujah. Well, just repent. God will help you. Despite your dumb. Glory to God. Well, listen to verse 21. He says, and when he had consulted with his people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now, I want you to listen. What did he do? He didn't come out and just do this himself as king. See, he knew as king, he ain't going to carry himself. He asked the people. He got them together. Okay, what should we do going out from here? What would be our act of faith? What is our act of faith that we go out to here to do this? And you know what they come up with? Let's send the singers and praisers first. Let's send that before the army. Now, I want you to think about that. Does that take faith? You see, I've been talking about this singing and praising. See, we haven't done enough of that with God. We haven't taken the singing and praising first. We're always asking for something first. We're sending our letters to Santa Claus. We're writing them out all the time and dropping them in the mail, hoping we get the thing back, whatever. I've been good this year, you know. See, you ought to do good to me. I did good. See, I was really nice. I need by God does stuff for you. I'm going to ask a slap in the face to God to talk to Him about your goodness on anything you're asking for. You know, God's talked to me about good things and already that I've done and stuff and things. He talked to me about Wanda and I and the areas of our giving and stuff and commended us. But I would never go to His face and say, well, look what I've done money-wise and I get that. You owe me something. He don't owe me nothing. My God, He saved me. I ain't going to hell. I think that debt's done been paid. I mean, what right do I have to stand in His face if I got a right to anything? But He says if I'll come in faith, He'll give it to me. He's phenomenal. This stuff is like a fairy tale, folks. Our Christianity is like a fairy tale. And I believe a lot of the church world has taken it as a fairy tale today. This stuff is true. And this is a true story, folks. I'm a dumb guy and believe it. I don't need some scientist to tell me how this happened. No. Now listen, it says, now when they began to sing in praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who came out against Judah, and they were defeated. When did the defeat started? When they started, we're going to send the praisers. We're going to send what's going to win this battle. We're going to send out there. God's going to be first. God's going to be first in the battle. God's going to be first. During the Second World War, there was an English colonel who, for a period of time that he had, was in charge of this unit. He never had any guys ever die in his unit, yet they were in combat. And every time, before any time they engaged in combat, he would stand before them and read the 91st Psalm. He would read it to them. And as long as he was in charge of that, he never lost a man. He would stand there and read the 91st Psalm. See, God was first. Smart man. What we do is go off to battle and come back, and everybody makes it. We say, boy, thank God. We call that a praise and a thanks to God. Weren't we lucky? Oh, yeah. You see, but this is an act of faith. See, this act of faith that they did? Their act of faith is what activated God. God said, I'm going to turn around. This battle's mine. Now, you guys got to get down there and stand. But see, their faith is going to activate what God's going to do. God moved when they operated by faith. God moved. It's a pattern of the Word. I mean, it's just the way that it is. It's how it operates. And if you learn these things, see, it doesn't surprise me that Job ended up with twice of what he had. You can't stop a guy like that from getting twice of what he had. You can't stop him. I mean, God would run from one end of the earth to the other to get near a guy like that. He's looking. As Smith Wigglesworth said, God will move over 1 million people just to get to one person who's staying in faith. And see, it should be an encouragement. Why can't I be that one person? Well, you can. This isn't made for some brilliant genius or something. And we have a king here who just humbles himself and says, God, I need you. I can't make this thing. This is too much. We need your help. God said, okay, the battle's mine, but you guys get down there and you stand. You're going to see this. Well, how do we take the army? We're going to take the army. Take your army and get down. Well, I got to take the army, but how am I going to take the army down? Am I going to go down like I'm going to fight, or I'm going to go down there like a winner? See, I'm going to praise before I get the answer. This is why people don't get their answers. They're waiting to see it happen. Then I'll thank God for it. Well, I'm sorry. Any sinner can do that. Well, we find, and we won't go on to read any more about the story. You go on and read it. It is good. But God sent these, God, in his so-called setting ambushes, and you know, God caused these three armies to destroy each other. And they destroyed each other. Now, number one, that is not a natural act. That isn't something that something natural happened that caused that. There had to be a change in the realm of the spirit. Those demons, those murderous demons, something changed in the spirit realm where they people went against one another. Something happened in the realm of the spirit where those demons that were operating in them began to oppose one another's armies. Something changed in the realm of the spirit. And see, that's what we need. See, there's one thing I've prayed about this, and I use it in prayer all the time. It's just like Jehoshaphat prayed, God, aren't you going to judge these guys? Look what they did. You're going to judge this thing? Well, God judged them, didn't he? He judged them in what they did. He changed things in the realm of the spirit. He had to. And that's what has to happen today. But I pray all the time and say, Lord, these people out here are doing this stuff. I pray, Lord God, that you cause them to turn on one another. You cause them, Lord, to turn on each other. Cause them to. You know, as long as these people are allowed to get away with what this, ain't nothing going to change. I pray this all the time. Lord, these evil people out here are doing it. Let them turn on each other. And you know what? They're fighting with each other. Now they can't get along with each other. You know what? The Democratic Party's a mess. They're fighting with each other. They're imposed and they're seeing, hey, what we're doing, this thing, we're in bad shape here. Why? Opposition. See, we ought to be, God, this needs judged. God, I remind them, Lord, just as in those days, you brought confusion to their groups and called them to turn on one another. We have more than one time that this happened, but I want you, this is a supernatural event that takes place. This is a miracle. It's a miracle that they went down there and they stood and they watched three armies. I mean, we have where God did a miracle. We're sitting around in Samaria and Samaria is surrounded by an army. They're locked up in the inside. It's gotten so bad they're eating their kids. And there's some lepers sitting outside the gates of the city. And they're dying there too. And they finally decided, these lepers said, hey, you know, why don't we get down here to this other army that's in the city, see if they can give us any help, or he said if they don't, they'll kill us, but what does it matter? We're going to die one way or the other. We're either going to starve to death here, or let's just get down there and get killed, or we might get lunch. You know? Hey. So what they do? They walk down the camp. Meanwhile, Israel and the king are sitting on the inside. They're all dying. They've done eating all the horses and the donkeys and everything else. They've eaten it all. And they're down there sitting on the inside. The Bible even tells you, I forget how much they were paying for a donkey's head. It was some crazy price. Anyhow. Well, they were sitting down there. And anyhow, these guys go out there and find the armies had fled away and left all their stuff. And the Bible says they heard the sound like there was a big army coming in after them, and they all got scared and ran off. Now that ain't natural, is it? Why don't we see things like this happen today? Why don't we? It can't be God. He changes not. It can't be God. We go over and look at Gideon. 300 men. The Bible tells us that the land was covered like locusts. The armies were so big. 300 guys show up. It takes a man by faith. God says, I want you to get down there and take a sword and a pitcher with a lamp in it. I mean, it's, oh man. Requires faith. See, we read those things and like those stories. But you know what? You can't have what they have if you won't do that. Can he get you to go fight the battle? Could he get you to go against the Russian army? If he said, hey, I'll defeat him with 300 of you if you'll take a sword, just take a sword and a pitcher with a lamp in it. 99.99999999999% of big name ministers would never go. Folks, but it isn't, you got to come to the place you're just going to trust God. God moved in Gideon to do something. But see, he moved in a position to be moved. You know what, Gideon? Gideon wanted miracles. When the angel showed up, Gideon said, Where's the God that did the miracles? Why don't we have the miracles today? They told us about these miracles. Why don't we have them? That just didn't happen. This guy's been thinking about miracles. We need miracles. Do you think miracles? Are you thinking about your need for a miracle? Are you really thinking about it? Are you really thinking about the need of miracles that we need to turn things around in this land? Do you realize the miracle? Our little weenie whining praying ain't going to do it. We got to want something big. We got to get a bigger idea about God. My God, you got to do something great. The scripture says, he'll do exceedingly abundantly above what I ask or think according to the power that's working in me. Well, the last time I checked, it was the Holy Ghost working in me. Are we cooked up with Him? Are we connected to Him? Are we connected to that Holy Ghost? God has said He would do exceedingly above whatever I ask or think. I mean, I can think of some pretty wild stuff sometimes. I can think out there. I can get out there and think about some weird. He said He'd go beyond it. Well, I guess I don't go there enough. I must not. See, we think, you know what happens? We get into our situations. We think they're so big and such a big deal. And they ain't nothing. They're spit to God. It amounts to nothing. They're little. Do you ever think about what you need is just nothing for God? Ain't a flick of a finger and He can do it. See, it's easy to have a faith in a God like that. If you believe like that, it's not a hard thing. And we've lost that childishness that we had about this God that would just do something great for us. We want to come back. And God wants you to know, hey, He wants to fight your battle. He wants to take the pressure off of you. The weight that you've carried, sometimes just on the areas of what you thought was faith, but it wasn't faith. You were carrying the burden of the thing. He wants you to put it on. Praise me. Come down to the battle and praise me and watch what happens. Come on down and watch what happens when the devil's army folds up. Come down and watch it. Hallelujah. That's what He wants to do. He wants to do for us. See, we can come to this. We can come to this place. This faith thing's not a sophisticated bunch of anything. Hallelujah. Our faith is based on the Word of our God. Well, what kind of God is He? What is He? Is He a God of just talk? Is that what He is? Can He deliver a people from Egypt today? Can He do those same miracles? Will He do them? Why haven't they been done? Why don't we have it? Well, there has to be reason. I can't find from the book there's any reason from His standpoint. I could find reasons from my standpoint. I could find no reasons from His standpoint. He said, we've entered the time of the miraculous. I said, God? And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody else. You understand? We got to come to this place and stop and say, you know, our God's big. I'm just going to be Job. I'm going to fall on my face. I'm worshiping my God. I'm worshiping my God. Hallelujah. America's a mess. Whining and crying and groaning and moaning. My God's big enough. My God's big enough. My God is big enough. My God can turn things around. See, we got to come to that place. Hallelujah. You can come to that place. It isn't held by some special person. Hallelujah. I think about guys like Gideon. Gideon just says, the angel, hey man, where are the miracles at? How come we don't have the miracles? How come we don't? And you know what God did? God turned him into a miracle maker. God said, you want miracles? Okay. Come on out, buddy. We'll do some miracles. Now, he had a walk by faith. He had this big army there, and God said, no. You ain't having all these guys get down there and fight and them get the glory. If I don't get the glory out of it, I ain't going. See, you got to get the place where you want God to get the glory and not you. Well, look at my big faith then. No, it's just look what God did. God said, no, you got too many guys. He broke them down and got less. He said, no, that's still not good enough. 300 man army. Well, we know this. It's got to be a miracle if this works. It had to be a miracle if this army is going to stand and watch. and not fight. What's going to cause them? See, God is going to do something miraculous. And we find all through the Scripture. See, sometimes we look at the Old Testament and the things that happen. We think, wow, that's really something. They did this or they did that. And they look at, that's our God. He's not an Old Testament God. That's my dad did that stuff. My Heavenly Father did those things. And He told me He loves me. What would He do for you? Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know if it blessed you this way. I didn't know how I was going to minister this today, but I got blessed. It encouraged my faith. Hallelujah. And encourage, and that's what I want. This is not to discourage anybody. It's to lift us the place. I'll tell you, dream big. Believe big. We need a miracle for our nation. I know this. I can't do the miracle that's needed. But you and I do know the one who can. He's our Father. He's our God. Jesus Christ Himself, His Son, who redeemed us and said, you can ask anything His name, this guy will do it for you. Gee, I wonder if Jesus was just blowing wind trying to say some nice stuff so they could write it on a page someday, make Him seem like a good guy. No, He was telling the truth. He said, whatever you ask, you. I mean, think about that today. Think about that. He said, whatever you. Whatever you. Think about that, what He's saying. He's talking. Whatever you. You know, it would be no difference in saying, Rosie, whatever you ask. And I'll do it. Whatever you ask the Father, man, He's going to do that for you. Amen. Whatever you ask. You. Hallelujah. Ask the Father, man, He's going to do it for you. Oh, my. Amen. You. Eileen. Whatever you. Whatever Eileen. Ask the Father in the name of Jesus. He'll do it for you. I mean, get that to yourself. Make the Scriptures personal to you. He said to you. He was talking to you. Each one of you, He was talking to, whatever you. Jesus said, you know, you take my name. I'm giving you my name. You just take my name. Whatever you ask, Dad. He's your Father. He's my Father. Whatever you. Oh, my word. See, you could dream big off of that, couldn't you? If you get a revelation of that, you can dream big off of that. And then He told us to pray for our leaders, pray for our nation, pray in those things, whatever we ask. He said, you know what, guys? I want you to live a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. See, I don't want you to keep living in hell. That's what He said. I want you to have a life. I want you to have a life, not an existence. I want you to have a life. I want you to have a life. Hallelujah. You get a life. How you? See, you meditate on these things. They're so simple. We say them, but they're so profound. They're phenomenal. The thing that grabs me about them, because they're little statements, but they are so enormous in their value. It's like, oh my God, how far can I go on this thing? It's like when I asked the Lord, when He told me about finances, about what you need, I said, Lord, how far can I go in this? He said, it has nothing to do with me. It's about you. How far do you want to go? How far do you want to go? Oh, my words. How far do you want to go? How far can you dream today that you want? God is saying, I want to help you get there. I want to get there. The thing that you're dreaming, I want to take you there. I want you to have the desires of your heart. I want to fight your battle. I want to be right there. That's what He's saying. It wasn't their great need. Today it's yours. Today, what is it with you? Hallelujah. You know what? What might be a mountain to you maybe isn't to another person, but it's your mountain. Anybody can knock it and say any darn thing they want. But it's your mountain. It's a thing you have to deal with. It's a thing that the pressure that's against you. There isn't some pressure that's so small that He says, oh, it ain't worth it. He's your God always. He's your God in everything. He's interested you in everything today. Everything. Everything that affects you. Everything. Anything that torments you. Anything that the devil brings to steal, kill, and destroy. He is the deliverer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, I just, this morning, just so thankful to you. Lord God, I pray that the wonderful truths of these words, Lord God, just fill our hearts. Lord God, Lord, we just want to be full of faith. Just full, filled with your gracious words. Full, Lord God, of trusting in you. The Lord God, there's nothing else we want to look to. Lord, there is nothing that is as valuable as you are. There's nothing even close. There's nothing we could compare. The richness of your goodness toward us in Christ Jesus. Father, what would it be compared to? Lord, if we looked all out through this universe and we looked out through that everything that was created and is, but Lord God, without just your love of salvation for us, what good would any of that be? It would be worthless. It doesn't amount to anything. But the richness of your love to us, the richness of your love to us and your desire for us, Lord, it doesn't make natural sense, but it makes every bit of sense in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That you're a God of love, of mercy and kindness. And I just thank you today. Father, I pray especially for the ladies today. Lord God, there's been such an attack in our nation on womanhood and on manhood. There's been such terrible attack. Satan is trying to diminish the value of your creation. And Lord God, that makes me mad. Lord God, these ladies, they're a treasure created by you and made by you. And Lord God, I want to thank you, Lord God, in this day and time that you're strengthening them. You're building them up, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord God, you're giving them vision as women in this earth to be able to see and understand, to take the place of womanhood. Lord, Lord, there's so many young women, they don't even know what a lady is. They don't even know what a woman is. Lord, they're here, they're bombarded with all this stuff out here, and they don't know the glory of what they are and the wonder that what they are. And Lord, I pray, oh Father God, Father, first of all, I thank you to be, that I have the opportunity to be among people who believe right. I'm so gratefully thankful, Lord God. Lord God, for a church with women in it. I am just so grateful for it, Lord God. And I just thank you so much. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray that they see that they're of the value that they are in this day and time. It don't matter what everybody else is doing, Lord God, that they would keep their eyes above. That they would be able to see clearly, Lord, looking above of the treasure that you've made them, Lord God, to be, of their place, especially in this day and time of history of our nation. Father God, oh Lord God, that they're examples of this motherhood. Lord God, Lord, that they don't shy away at all from being what you've created them to be. Hallelujah. That they be bold to stand forward. Lord God, bless them richly. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you today, Lord God. Father, as they're celebrating today, Lord God, may we just celebrate, Lord God, today as a people of your great love for us and your kindness and mercy for us in Christ Jesus. May today, Lord God, we walk in a place of faith and, Lord God, of the value of the position that you placed us in as Christians. Lord God, we're more than just a physical being for sure. And I thank you, Lord God, through this people here, these ones here, Lord God, are just seeking after you. They love you, Lord. Lord, they're after to find out. They want to know what you're saying. They're hungering and thirst for righteousness. And I thank you, Lord, they're being filled. And Lord God, I believe you can bring great change through them. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, the significance of their voice of faith. The significance of their actions of faith. The significance, Lord God. Lord, it goes beyond just natural things. I believe things in the heavenlies will be changed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. By them walking, by them walking and acting on the Word of God. Hallelujah. Father God, we set ourselves, Father, to be a people. The Lord God, we believe in miracles. We don't believe them just on the pages of a book. Hallelujah. We believe, Lord God, they're for every day. We believe, Lord God, for a God who manifests Himself and does far beyond what humanity can do. And Lord God, You will bring deliverance through Your hand, and You will show Yourself in Your glory just as You did in the past. You will do today and into the future, Lord God, that Your glory is revealed, that men will stop and say, God had to do that. It had to be the hand of God, that no man can do such things. Father God, that we trust You and You get to be God. Hallelujah. We trust You and You show forth Your mighty hand of deliverance. And they will say, and the voice will cry out and ring out again and say, there is a God in the Church of Jesus Christ. There is a God. Hallelujah. Yes, come and see. There is a God. And we thank You for it, Father, for all that You're going to accomplish and do in us. And through us, and through our faith in Jesus Christ, we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.